everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show. Thinly veiled mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends who are sort of laughing their way through movies as a way of providing some routine in their lives. But given that this is a mental health check-in, and it's, you know, more about... I'll fuck that right up.
No, that was mint.
I'm struggling today.
Mint, mate. Honestly,
my head is on fire.
Fuck me, you sound happy, mate. You sound like you are having the best day of your life right now. Fuck me.
Do you know what? Like, for the longest time, I had stuff going on that wasn't mine to share. Mm-hmm. And now that's all gone away. So the viewers can look back fondly at the time when I couldn't admit how bad I was doing.
Yeah.
Now they get to strap themselves on.
Yeah.
And get fucked by my bad mood every week.
There you go, man. This is what accountability is. I tell you what, let me try this one. You ready? Let me try this
one.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Yeah. Welcome to the show. A thinly veiled mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends healing through film. But before we get to what we're doing, Ben, how are you doing? Is this helping?
This is weird.
Is this helping the show?
This is really weird. No. No. It's like your mum's come in wearing your dad's face stapled on.
Oh, yes.
Bad touch. Yes. That's bad touch. yeah, fine. Do you know what it is? I've had a rough week at work. My hands are covered in fucking burns. I feel like Monkey Man. Although I watched Monkey Man. That was a rare ray of light in my week. Great film.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to add it to the schedule. So those of you that haven't watched Monkey Man, go and watch Monkey Man right now.
After watching Ghostbusters 2016, go and watch Monkey Man.
Really?
I mean,
I'd say just watch Monkey Man instead.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother. Watch Ghostbusters 2016 if you've never seen a Ghostbusters film.
Or a film. If you've never seen a film,
yep.
Ghostbusters 2016 is a film.
It's a great starting point because it's nothing but improvement from there.
Yeah, this film was relevant to my week in that I am not having a good time with the brain weather.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry to hear that, mate.
If given the choice... I wouldn't be doing a podcast episode right now,
yeah.
But we've left it mad late in the week.
We have.
We have to do it tonight.
We do.
But the promotional material is already out there.
It is.
And the contracts have already been signed.
They have.
And so I kind of have to come up with a Ghostbusters episode. So it's incredibly relevant to how this film must have felt.
Yes, it's almost identical.
Because nobody in this film has anything to say about Ghostbusters.
It is almost... incredibly accurate to how this fucking film was made, which we are going to get into.
We are. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm fucked. I'm so unbelievably tired, man. Dude.
Mm.
Do you remember being a kid and being like, fuck, I can't wait to be in my 30s. Life is going to be so much better when I'm an adult and I can do things and I can do this, that, and the other. Nah, mate. Everything breaks. Just everything is broken. Yeah. At the moment, everything's an uphill struggle. Like, get out of bed. Fucking mammoth feet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm proud of myself for doing it on a day-to-day basis, but fuck me, at the time, I'm like, just give it up.
Yeah.
But I do have a saving grace. I've got a new hyper-focus of buying shit DVDs from charity shops.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
It's my favorite fucking pastime now. It's incredible. I've picked up some absolute bangers. Whisper Kill, ever heard of it?
No.
Absolute banger. Buried Alive. Ever heard of it?
No. Nope.
Wow, Stephen King's ad is like, let's look at Edgar Allan Poe's work, eh? Let's make that a cinematic universe.
Absolute banger.
Yeah, banger. Southern Cross with Michael Ironside. Banger. Fucking Nightmare Hostel, where on the DVD cover, they're just calling out Eli Roth's hostel for being shit. It's mint. They don't even have a distributor. The balls on that, insane. That's nothing but pure inspiration right there, that is, mate. Pure inspiration.
That's the kind of inspiration Ghostbusters 2016 needed, and sadly
it had the vision, but fuck.
This episode is still jam-packed. We've got a lot to cover.
We do.
I want to ask you how and what, how did this happen?
I got you.
I want to deep dive a little bit into the reaction this had.
Yeah.
I want to know what you would change to make this film funny.
I want to know what you would change to improve this film as well. Give and take. We're on this, man. Okay. See?
We're on this. We got this. We can make this film happen.
Yeah.
Maybe let's get Melissa McCarthy onto the episode. Maybe she'll make it funny. She's been doing great.
She's been fucking banging on about getting on the show for at least 6 months now. We've had to hold her off for a while because it's like, buddy, we're busy, we get it, you know, super fan. Know. Calm your tits.
She started calling me baby reindeer. It's like, Melissa, please.
Literally. I mean, honestly, the amount of times you've done stand-up comedy in a Scottish pub to just Melissa McCarthy is, it's shocking. It's shocking.
On top of that, we're going to be reading out some of the delightful comments that the people of the internet have given us.
There's some bangers.
And getting into the meat and the guts. And the bones.
Yeah, the gubbins.
Ghostbusters 2016. The gubbins. Let's get up in the gubbins.
Let's get the giblets, man.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Tell me, Ben.
Here we go. Are we ready? So.
We are ready.
Ghostbusters 2016 came out 2 years later than planned.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You mean they had extra time?
They, Harold Ramis passed away in 2014 when the third movie was due to come out. Which meant it was sort of pushed back and there was a big shift. I'll get into it.
Yeah.
This film had a budget of $144 million. It was never intended to be that big, but
no.
Terrible test screenings, lots of reshoots. Yeah. All of the reshoots were suggested by Aykroyd before they were shot. And then Paul Feig, for whatever reason, was like, nah. And then just test screened it, realized it was shit, and was like, oh, I need to do some reshoots. I've got a great idea. I'm going to do this. And Aykroyd's like, dick! Said this, what, 6 months back? So $144 million in total. Box office.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's fucked. It was just, I think...
You could make five Ghostbusters 1 for that, and this is not five times as good as Ghostbusters
1. Ghostbusters 1's perfect. It's perfect. It's untouchable. It will never be like equaled by any Ghostbusters movie or any comedy movie. It's the one. You know what I mean? Ghostbusters 2016 or Ghostbusters Answer the Call, whichever camp you subscribe to, they're both the fucking same piece of shit. It's just one's rolled in a bit of glitter and the other one's rolled in a bit more shit. The box office of this film was $229.1 million. Worldwide.
That is a lot of global disappointment.
It's a enormous amount of money for every person to leave that theater going, why? Why though? The reason we are covering Ghostbusters, it is a beloved franchise. It's held very near and dear to my heart, my own heart. I'm true Shropshire Ghostbuster through and through.
Mm-hmm.
It's lived a long and eventful life. But the main thing that we want to get into, the main thing that I want to get into is why I've brought this to the fucking table is why is Ghostbusters 1 so fucking hard to sequel? What is it about this mystical, perfect film that makes it so hard to sequel? At the end of this series, we'll be going through theories that we've got. We'll have covered all the sequels or the fucking one mistake, which we happen to do today. Yay!
I've got two reactions to this film and I'm going to try and switch between them.
Cool.
Because when I first saw this film, I would have given it a 6.5 out of 10.
Fuck you, right in your mouth.
Right, no, but hear me out. There were an awful lot of men, and let's be fair, it was men.
All men.
On the internet before this film came out, going, it's going to be shit because it's women.
Yeah.
And that really fucking annoyed
me
because the cast of this movie are
titans,
without doubt, hilarious actors.
Titans. Right?
They're just hilarious actors. They were all coming off a string of massive successes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, maybe wait to see the fucking film before having an opinion. But they hadn't. They were like, no, already hate it. And so when I went to see it, I was prepped to hate the film. Not hate the film, but I was like, okay, let's see. And it was fine. It was aggressively fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, do you know what? It's an old franchise. There's some diehard fans out there. It's fine. It's not so bad. It's not great. It's a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Rewatching it, fuck no.
See? Different context, mate. Different times, different context, right?
Right.
Because I'm in a similar boat to you, right? The backlash that this film got before it was even released, just because it was women and you had all these fucking incel cunts online being sort of like, women aren't funny. It's going to be shit. They're going to ruin the franchise because they're women. It's like, fuck you. You small-minded, shallow, fucking imbecile, never seen a tit piece of shit, right? I fucking hate
it. It's not that, Ben. It's that they automatically see a woman and just get that Pavlovian conditioning. They just taste the pepper spray. See a woman and they're like, oh, my eyes are really sore all of a sudden.
I think I'm getting a migraine. Oh. I can't really see what's going on. No, it's called mustard gas, you fuck, and you deserve it. But I hate these guys, right? I fucking hate it. It's the main reason that I despise the internet. It's the main reason I hate social media, because these stupid fucking keyboard warriors that wouldn't utter anything. It's the sort of person that you stood in a queue, right? You're in a queue in a shop, mm-hmm. and you always get that one guy that just wants to be sort of like a nice, friendly guy. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, he's just having a chat. So, you know, oh, so it's this, that, and the other.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just randomly come out with stuff like, can't say anything these days. You know what I mean? Do you remember when you used to be able to make jokes? And so you went, have you noticed that all watches are now marketed as unisex? It's never just, oh, this is a man's watch. And this, it's like, what the fuck does it matter to you? Were you, is your personality?
We were talking about garlic 2 minutes
literally.
Ago. How has it got onto
fuck
this?
Fuck you, like, man. Just let me buy my fucking green peppers and mushrooms and go about my day. Yeah. I don't need to listen to your opinion on watch marketing values nowadays. Like, who gives a shit? But it's that guy. It's that guy that was doing all this bullshit. And I went to the cinema to see this film because I was like, fuck these guys. The cast is incredible. The director's great. It's going to be a fun movie, regardless of whether it's a good movie. I'm going to have fun with it.
Yes.
And I walked out of there and I was like, I fucking hate these incel cunts. They were right, but for the wrong reasons. It yeah, was a shit film, but for the wrong reasons. I'm putting wrong reasons in all caps right here, right? Let me do this again. Yep. They were right for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
But they were right. It was a shit film. And the worst thing about it all, this reinforced the whole movement that they had. Oh, my negative review bombs are now justified because of blah, 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 blah. It's like, fuck you. You got lucky
it's
once.
It's the filmic equivalent of somebody coming to the town council meeting and saying, I really think we need more insect houses in the town centre.
Yeah.
Because if the insects don't move in, the blacks will. And you're like, oh.
Wow.
I now don't want to agree with you. I don't think we should have insect boxes now. Because if I say we should set up a bee hotel, I look like a massive racist.
Insect hotels in the park would be lovely. That's a great idea.
Right.
Saying that you want them because you don't want black people to move in instead of that. Like, that's a very specific and niche target audience to go, see what will happen? Why?
Why
is that where your brain goes to, right?
That's exactly what the reaction to this film was. I've written a breakdown for it that you've not read
I've yet. Not read it yet. I'm dreading it,
I've
but
kept
I've not
it,
read it.
I've kept it short and sweet.
Okay.
It's not going to go through the detail of every scene of the movie.
Good.
Because there's no need for that.
There's also not much of it going on. You know what I mean?
You start. For those of you that haven't seen this film, don't. We'll tell you what happens.
Yeah.
And for those of you that have seen it and can't remember it very well, we don't blame you. But this is a rough kind of going on about what's going on.
Okay.
Ben, by all means, kick us off.
I'll kick us off. Ready?
Just think
I had a bit of breakdown. Come on, breakdown.
Ghostbusters Answer the Call is a supernatural comedy film that follows Erin Gilbert, Abby Yates, two scientists with little to no identity of their own, who keep a fun mate around called Gillian Holtzman, who also has no personality beyond unchanging craziness. That's spelt with a K. Like crazy glue. That's not an input from me. That's just me reading. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because the writers must have been sniffing something. And we know it's not cocaine. Ghostbusters 1984 is a cocaine sniffers kind of script. I'll agree to that. This is more budget child glue and their own farts kind of sniffing material.
I was in a bit of a mood when I wrote this, I can't lie.
Really? You? No.
When ghostly apparitions start appearing all over New York City, the trio teams up with subway worker Patty Tolan, who has encountered paranormal activity in her job, to form the Ghostbusters. Patty would be an incredibly racist caricature if they hadn't convinced a black woman to play her. As they investigate the source of the ghostly disturbances, they uncover a plot by an audience surrogate named Rowan North, who seems to unleash a wave of supernatural chaos upon the city so this god-awful nightmare will end. Rowan reads as how the writers imagine a Ghostbusters fan, and knowing Ben, they're not entirely wrong.
That's mean, for a start. It's not wrong, but it's mean. I want you to know that, all right? That cut deep. It's very funny, but that cut deep.
I regret it now. I'm reading it now. It's too
harsh.
You
shouldn't. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. With the help of their proton packs and other ghost-busting gadgets, like a fucking chipper. There's like a little wood ghost chipper thing. And some...
Yeah, which is quite fun in another film.
Yeah. Yeah, great. The team battles Rowan's army of specters and ultimately confronts him in a showdown atop a skyscraper. Have we seen that before? Have we? I don't know.
Who knows?
However, Rowan manages to possess Abby and nearly succeeds in his plan to bring about the apocalypse. In a climactic battle of wills, Erin manages to break through to Abby, freeing her from Rowan's control. Together, the Ghostbusters use their knowledge and determination to defeat Rowan and save New York City from destruction, earning as much recognition and gratitude from the fictional public as the film lost its... Oh my God. Earning as much recognition and gratitude from the fictional public as the film lost the franchise among the actual public. Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's pretty good. That is pretty good.
There's two strands here that I want to get your opinion on.
Okay.
Right. Firstly, I know we've shit on this film a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad film. I don't think it's a bad film. It's worse than bad.
Yes.
And let me quantify that.
Yeah.
We covered a film recently on YouTube. It's either out now or about to be out.
It'll be out soon, I think.
Called Cash Out, right?
John Travolta's new film.
Yeah, we covered it. We're probably going to get sued into oblivion if anyone sees it.
No. Hands free, man. Hands free. We're clean.
We'll see.
We're clean.
Might be the last thing we ever do.
Maybe.
But
we'll see.
We reviewed it. Go watch that. That's a bad film. This is worse. This is bland. Like it's,
I'll agree.
Every choice achieves and says very little, and there's no one bit like the ghost chipper, right?
Yes,
that's a fun thing. In another movie, would have been very fun.
Yeah,
but in this movie, it's just another random bit of like Ghostbusters adjacent
merch,
lint,
it's toys.
That's all just been It's all just been like collected.
Yeah,
and. I guess the only description I have for it is like imagine watching 2 hours of factory footage mm-hmm. and it's just a close-up shot and it's just all the bottles of unlabeled, skimmed, non-fat milk just passing by on a conveyor.
Sure.
You couldn't say any one bottle was the reason that footage was boring to watch.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't change the outcome.
Not yet. There's no sum of its parts.
Yeah.
It's just and then.
Yeah.
And then. And every character is like, this is a person.
Look.
It's a weird thing.
I'm going to agree with you, right? And I know that we've started this episode. We've come in hot.
Yeah.
At the start of this episode, right? I know I've come in hot at the top of this episode. I need to backtrack a little because I have, like yourself, I have two trains of thought on this film. I'm going to discuss Ghostbusters 2016 as a film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to discuss it as a Ghostbusters film.
Right.
Because we're going to get into it shortly. But I feel like there's a very simple fix that could have happened that would have made this a great film.
Yeah.
Maybe not a great film. It would have made it a fun film, but there's a few minor details that would have had to change. So I'm gonna look at it as a film, a standalone film.
Yep.
It's fun, it's colorful, it's musical, it's full of a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
And as those characters being characters,
yep,
in a universe that is their own creation,
for sure,
and they're all aware of this fact. It's a fun film. It's funny,
yeah.
As a Ghostbusters film, they're trying to reboot the perfect,
yeah.
Like in my eyes, Ghostbusters 1 is comedy perfection.
Yeah. We've covered why you think we think that, and I get that a reboot of that is not what you need.
We don't.
You know, it's like when they remade Old Boy. I'm like, why?
Yes. Why are we taking why are we taking perfect films and rebooting mm-hmm. them? Why don't we take the shit films and then make yep. them better?
With good concepts. Like, that's a really interesting concept.
Yes.
But you executed fucking terribly.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. There are fucking hundreds of thousands of those movies that are about. And majority of them are sort of franchise entries. Look at the first two Fantastic Four movies, right? Standalone movies, hilarious. Fantastic Four movies, shit. You know what I mean?
Awful.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just,
utter
just
shit.
Stomping on my dreams.
Yeah, just punching my childhood square in the mouth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
literally,
yeah.
Awful. So it's like bands covering the Beatles. The Beatles, in my eyes, the Beatles and the Beach Boys are musical perfection. You're never going to get better.
Beach Boys, I'll agree. Yeah,
Beach Boys are beyond perfection.
You can't better the Beach Boys. No. You can't go... Beach Boys were great, but what if you did exactly that with a twist? You'd be like, then it would be that percent worse.
Yeah, yeah. You go to your local pub and you see someone covering Good Vibrations and you're like, why? This has been done. It's already been perfected.
Why are you
doing a shitter version of it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why are we stepping down all of a sudden? Just because you want to like pat yourself on the back. Yeah, I did that. For why?
Given that being true, right? Okay, so I agree with
Thank you.
I agree with you. And I think most people do. I think most people do. And I think most people who make films would probably agree with you.
Good.
So you had an original writing team.
We did.
Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ivan Reitman, right?
Yes.
They were doing their thing and Ghostbusters 2 came out. I get it. It was a financial disappointment. And critically, like we said, it's messy. It's not more than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
But in my mind, what they've got there is they've got a perfect film.
Yeah.
And a 7 out of 10, which is a bit disappointing because the first one was a fat 10.
It's kind of a redundant sequel, you know what I mean? They lose everything to then climb to the top again.
But either way, that's still a good hit rate, right?
Great hit rate.
You got a 17 out of 20 there.
Yeah.
So I, as a studio, would go, have another. Mm. But there's just this 20-year gap.
Yeah, it's like 30 years. It's late 80s to late 2000s.
I suppose, yeah, right. So, how? Why? Why was Paul Feig given this? Why? Like, how has this gone about? What's the gap?
Right. It's a very long and it's a very complex history.
Let me strap myself in.
I can't do all of it.
Pop a couple Xanax.
Listen, I know you're in a rough one right now. This is going to make it better because you're just going to go, what the fuck? At most of it, and that's going to make you feel great about it.
It will, yeah.
It's too long for us to cover in this episode because it is an entire... We could do a YouTube video on it and it would be 2 hours long and it would be mad in depth. It would be a great fucking thing. We just don't have the time to...
I don't want to be that kind of YouTuber.
Exactly, right. So I'm gonna keep it brief. There was a... Bill Murray got tricked into doing Ghostbusters 2. He had no desire to do it. He saw it as a cash grab. He was like, ah... fine, I'll do it because I like the cast.
Came out.
Yeah.
Script was different. We did all this in Ghostbusters episode.
Go listen to that episode if you want that story. It's great. There was a third script that Aykroyd had written in 1999. It was called Ghostbusters 3 Hellbent.
Okay.
And this had Venkman leaving the Ghostbusters to go and spend time with Sigourney Weaver's character, Dana Barrett.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume Oscar. Her baby.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I hope he hadn't hung himself.
Yeah, see? Oh. Absolutely
sorry, mate,
not.
Continue.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Just, sorry, mate. Yeah, crack on from the baby death joke. Okay. The remaining Ghostbusters included a new younger member.
Right.
Who would have been Ben Stiller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He would have taken the comic relief.
Right, yeah.
Because he'd just blown up after Something About Mary. A new younger member. They fought souls evicted from a hellish version of Manhattan known as Manhelton. Sounds awesome, okay. Right?
They could have worked on the name of it better.
Nah, keep it. Manhelton? Fuck yeah. I'd move in. They revised the script to Ghostbusters 3, Ghostbusters in Hell, which is where Stance and Spengler find a vortex to another dimension. Again, Ben Stiller would have replaced Murray. The production budget would have been way too big for both of these. Like the sets, the CGI's needed. It would have been insane.
It would have been one of those horrible 2005 CGI films. A bit like the Spawn.
Yes, it would have been Spawn. Spawn is my fucking example for this. It would have been that. It would have been Spawn. which is, you know, great idea, terribly executed, early CGI years. It
needs a reboot.
It needs a fucking reboot. Let's get the Spawn reboot on the go, man.
Uh-huh.
So, with the production in, like, development standstill and would remain there for years, Atari released the video game, the Ghostbusters, the video game, in which all of the original Ghostbusters came back and did their voices. Aykroyd and Ramis used the video game as like a means to explore the Ghostbusters past, play around with the history of the Ghostbusters.
What happens in the game?
So there's tons of little bits. I've only played like the first few levels, to be honest. I haven't touched my PS4 in like 2 years.
Okay.
there's a few cool things. It is canon to the original Ghostbusters universe. So Winston Zeddemore gets his PhD during that time.
Okay.
So he is actually now a doctor along with the rest of the Ghostbusters, which is why he's...
About fucking time.
Right? Which is why he's a doctor in Afterlife, but we'll get to that.
Nice.
So this video game, Aykroyd came out and said it's essentially the third movie, right? So with that being said, it sold over 1 million copies and Columbia, instant fucking dollar signs in their eyes. They wanted to push ahead with a new Ghostbusters film.
Yeah.
As the market is obviously still there. They had a script written by Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky.
Okay.
The co-writers of the 2009 comedy Year One, starring Jack Black and Michael Cera.
That comedy has done everything but stand the test of time, you know?
It's aged like a fine milk. It's shocking.
It really has. 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. I can see why they gave them a call.
The worst thing is I remember it coming out and I was so excited. I've got it on DVD somewhere from like, I bought it from HMV as it came out. It's terrible. But it's got a soft spot in my heart. So they decided to reboot it. Script was written. By 2010, the writers had left the script as Bill Murray was still a no-go.
Right, okay.
So the original Ghostbusters had clauses in their contracts, right? Which meant that if any one of them wanted to veto a Ghostbusters film, they could. And the studio had to respect it and they wouldn't push ahead with it without the sign-off of all four original actors.
Okay.
But also, Reitman had a clause in his contract that said that if he vetoed it, studio couldn't push forward.
So they really wrote this contract making sure that no one could ever make a Ghostbusters film ever again, right? Getting six creatives to agree to anything is a fucking nightmare. It's shepherding cats.
But also, it's the best way to protect a franchise that I can think of.
Yeah, in the same way that you can protect a loved one by burying them alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glass top coffin, food tube. What are we doing?
Chaplin's concrete coffin.
There you go. That's the one, man. So, obviously, Bill Murray was always fucking a no-go. Due to the contract clauses, they vetoed this film. And because of Murray's reluctance to participate, a reboot was favored instead. Reitman was under pressure to step down because Columbia wanted to hit a younger audience.
Ugh.
Paul Feig was selected. Casting was announced. Enter the fucking reboot. So, that is an extremely brief, extremely quick overview of how this film came to be. It was supposed to be released back, filmed in 2010, released in 2012, and then it got pushed to 2014. Harold Ramis passed away, unfortunately. You know, rest his soul.
Yeah.
And then
resurrect his soul with CGI.
Ooh, join us for the Afterlife episode in 2 weeks' time. With all of that in mind, all of that's going on behind the scenes, right? You've got the fucking the internet incels and cunts who were fucking awful. They were comment bombing, they were review bombing, they were disliking YouTube videos. Some of the shit that you can read on Reddit is genuinely disgusting. It is disgusting. Yeah, yeah. It's just mean, horrible shit. Like, we say stupid stuff and we can call each other a cunt, and you call me a cunt, I know that you love me, right? I call you a cunt as a term of endearment.
It always, like, we have like an hour's chat of incredibly healing, supportive, understanding, non-judgmental chat.
Exactly.
And then we hit record and just abuse each other.
That's exactly what happens, yeah.
And it feels incredible because it's like...
It's the best thing.
It's like a little bit of the sticking plasters go on. You put your, you know, you get your nice soft gloves on. You get wrapped up in a blanket and then you just beat the shit out of each other for an hour and then you go...
Yeah, we just spar for an hour over a film.
I feel better now. It's fantastic.
It gets everything out of the system. It's the best thing to do, right?
Right.
These guys were not that. These guys were out to hurt. They were out to be mean. Some of the shit that you read is evil. It's like, it's the fucking low of the low. I don't get offended. Like, I think I'm physically impossible to offend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm reading through this stuff and it's making me cringe. I'm like, you people can't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, there has to be some sort of test to pass.
What's interesting about 2016 as a time is we sort of know the word incel now. Mm. There's documentaries about incels. Mm. There's been murders done by incels.
Yeah.
It's an understood or a better understood sort of horrible symptom of a lot of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
I feel like this film and the reaction to its promotion was one of the first big events that shone a light on the fact that there was a significant portion of men online who have felt so pressured by the sort of way we've arranged society into seeking their validation from women. Mm-hmm. That the idea that women could go and take something that they viewed as theirs and do their own thing with it was like an emotional insult.
Yeah, it's like it was like a personal slight to them individually.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Their whole belief system was being challenged by a fucking franchise casting women in the thing.
Right,
the thing that fucks me off the most, right, is in Aykroyd's script for Ghostbusters 3, they were going to take on some new apprentices.
Right.
Obviously, Venkman was going to be gone off with Dana.
Yep.
They were going to have a new comic relief in as Ben Stiller, and they were going to have like new apprentices, right?
Yeah.
And it was going to turn into sort of like a franchisee type thing. And it didn't mean that the Ghostbusters had to lose everything to then claw their way back to the top again, like we've seen in the first two films. It was a continuation of them being the Ghostbusters, which is what that's what we need. Do you know what I mean? It's what we fucking need.
Yeah.
And in Aykroyd's original script, it was aimed at four new Ghostbusters, two being men, two being women.
Right.
Which is fucking incredible. Now, all these guys that claim to be diehard Ghostbusters fans and all this shit, how are they going to be saying that if Aykroyd had written women into the Ghostbusters franchise? Are they going to be losing their shit this way as well? They're nothing but receptionists in my Ghostbusters. Literal comment that I read somewhere. Women are receptionists in my Ghostbusters. It's like, it's not your fucking Ghostbusters. It wasn't made
for you. It's not your Ghostbusters, and if it was, I wouldn't watch it.
Same, same. I would actively avoid Ghostbusters if it was made for you. I would cut out that very fucking beloved part of my life, cut it out cold turkey and be like, it's not for me. I'm not a part of it anymore. I'm good.
The frustration with this film is seeing all of that, having that visceral reaction to... That's unfair. That's fundamentally unfair.
Yeah.
As a criticism to say, Melissa McCarthy has made me belly laugh in so many fucking films.
Yeah.
Hasn't aged well, but Bridesmaids was at one point one of my favorite comedies.
I don't give a shit what anyone says.
I rewatched it recently.
It's going to be one of the greatest films forever. It's Anchorman. It's the female Anchorman.
Right. Right.
Anchorman's timeless. Bridesmaids is timeless for different reasons, but they're timeless comedies. Yeah. They're always going to get a chuckle out of me.
Right.
Age poorly or not, it's a different time back then, but it takes me back to a time when all I wanted to do was just sit and ignore the plot holes, ignore the stupid, weird character focuses and flaws. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And it was so incredibly fresh at the time.
Yes, it was.
Right? Watching her in the heat with Sandra Bullock being detestable.
Incredible.
So incredibly fresh.
Incredible.
Watching her in Spy opposite Jason Statham.
So funny.
And Jason Statham parodying his own career.
Yeah.
By being like, I fist fighted a bear. I've jumped off a plane. I took up piano at a late age. Yeah.
I saw some behind the scenes shit of that, and McCarthy's the one ad-libbing some of the lines, like feeding Statham some lines. This would be, try this one. And then he does it and it fucking kills, man. And it's Melissa McCarthy doing it off screen. My fucking phone's going again. Melissa, we will text you back. All right? God.
But like, they can't do Ghostbusters because they're women.
Fucking stupid.
Is fundamentally not true. What I think the great shame of this script
is that it's shit.
Is besides the fact that shit, there's a deeper and sadder undercurrent, which obviously I found.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's where my fucking talent lies.
Yeah, this is where your erections live.
Yeah, exactly, right? The Ghostbusters as an all-female team could have been incredible.
Okay.
If the film had anything to say about womanhood.
Okay.
About the role of women in society.
Yeah.
Or any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's option A.
Yeah.
You go, we're going to acknowledge the fact that this is different, and we're going to say what's interesting about that and present some interesting things that you may not have thought about. It's the thing you know in a new context, and when it's an interesting way of looking at the thing you know.
Yeah.
Through this new female lens.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't do that.
They did not.
And so the other option is to just go, it's the same thing and they just happen to be women and we're not going to mention it at all.
Yeah.
Because it's not important. Because gender isn't important.
Yeah.
They didn't do that either.
No.
They did, we're going to constantly mention the fact that this is different and new because we're women, but do absolutely nothing of worth about that.
No. It struggles to find a voice. It doesn't know why it exists. It just exists to exist. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, 95% of people that I meet exist to just exist. You know what I mean?
right. But for a bit of media to say, we've changed all of the Ghostbusters to women. It's an all-female team. And you go, wow, that's fascinating. Why? And they go,
Because?
And you go, oh, because gender's not important. They're like, no, we will be going on about it regularly.
No, it's
okay, but
it's a prominent part. Oh, okay, so it's a focal point that we're going to be looking at female representation within like film industry or you know, independent contracting.
No.
What about like business ownership or like how it is to operate a startup? Oh, what about in the STEM fields, scientific minds?
We're
maybe
just going to be consistently drawing your attention to an empty page where we've written the word ideas and underlined it.
Oh, sweet.
And the rest is blank.
Oh, okay.
There was a great point made by, I think it's not my point, but it was a great point, I think, by Lashana Lynch, where people were asking her, like, are you going to be the next Bond? Are you going to be the next James Bond? And she's like, realistically, James Bond wouldn't be interesting as a woman because all of his character flaws are pretty stereotypically male character flaws.
Right.
Right? It's not about taking a character who's fine as the gender they are and just crowbarring diversity in.
Sure.
Right? It's about having unique stories. Imagine if there was no Black Panther, but we had Black Superman. And everything about him was the same. Same origin story, same powers, but he was black. It would be far less interesting. It'd be far less culturally rich.
Yeah, I see that.
And I think this idea of taking existing franchises and changing who represents them or which subsection and changing which part of society is represented in that franchise is less interesting than everyone just getting new, bold, original, as good stories that come from what it's like to be from that part of society.
Sure. No, I agree wholeheartedly.
Ghostbusters could have done that. Did it fuck?
Yeah.
It was pain. Like, I don't know what you... I've got some ideas of how you'd make this funny. How would you save Ghostbusters 2016? Because I think if there's one thing
okay.
that the internet needs is it's two straight enough white men saying what they do with their Ghostbusters reboot.
Yeah, exactly. What would I do with my Ghostbusters, right? Let me just keyboard warrior my way through this one, right?
Yeah, bro.
Fuck me. Is there a way that we can put an audible about to be cancelled type jingle type thing?
No, it's fine. We did the cash out video.
Oh, yeah, sound. All right, well,
that'll
fuck
cancel
it, yeah.
Us plenty.
Days are numbered. All right, well, plane's crashing. May as well enjoy the ride, eh?
Right, exactly.
So I've got a few ideas about this film. I'm going to do it as a Ghostbusters film first, and then I'm going to discuss it as a film after, okay? Because I think it's two different merits for two different things. They're two different objects.
Of course.
As a Ghostbusters film, they could have fixed this by taking the original Ghostbusters 3 script, you know, where the original Ghostbusters find a vortex to an alternate universe, and it's Ghostbusters in Hell.
Yeah.
Who's to say that the vortex didn't land them in this universe where the Ghostbusters have always been women, or they're just starting out, like in Ghostbusters 2016, same story, you know, they're just starting out, they're getting everything together, but then all of a sudden portal opens, original Ghostbusters are in, holy fuck, where are we? We're trying to figure out how to do this, that and the other, and then it's like, okay, we've done that in our fucking universe. Oh, you've got a ghost problem. We've solved ours. We're working on one at the moment. Let's get this one sorted. And then it ends with the vortex being opened and eight of them walking through for Ghostbusters 4, whatever the fuck it's going to be called. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a goofy little thing. You could incorporate the original script ideas and have the original cast play the original characters in a way that's not a cash grab. It's building on the same universe, but it's expanding it and it's telling the story from an alternative perspective, like you've said, where you put a focus on what it's like from the female perspective to run the Ghostbusters story. That would have been incredible. Now, my personal favorite idea on this, and I've had a lot of time to think about it because I've been angry since I've walked out of the cinema in 2016. I think this film would be super fucking fun if it wasn't Ghostbusters.
Okay.
I think if this was a Ghostbusters parody film.
Right, okay.
Like, you know SNL do film skits and they do like pre-produced skits on the show, and they're always fucking great, and it's always over the top nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, fuck, Never Stopping. You know, Pop Star, that film? The Lonely Island film? Yeah, yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, yeah. It's like a piss take of modern pop music. It's insanely
funny.
That's
a you one, but I get it. I get it.
Because it's stupid, right? And I can buy into it. It's tongue in cheek. It knows it's stupid. It's playing into its own joke, and I'm fucking there for it, man. I'm into it.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have done this with the Ghostbusters 2016 if it was aware of itself, if it knew that it was a joke. Mm-hmm. If, I mean, fucking Aykroyd and Bill Murray are SNL alumni. You know what I mean? They have roots there. The only reason that Bill Murray's in this fucking film is because he wanted to support Kate McKinnon and Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
That's the only reason he's in this film.
Brilliant.
Right? Make it a Ghostbusters Good parody. Man. Bill Murray would have signed on immediately.
Yeah.
Garen fucking tee it. He would have signed on and been sort of like, I can do a piss take of Venkman. I can do it. I can do a, you know.
Yep.
Call it whatever. And the film could have been great.
Yep.
But no, it took it. It took something perfect and tried to do it different for no reason. And it's the thing that fucks me off the most, and it's the most painful thing to admit, is these stupid fucking Redditors and comment bombers and review bombers. They were all chanting that this film's going to be shit, and they were right for the wrong reasons, but they were right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that hurts the most. It's the thing that hurts the most. If a parody film came out after all of that shit, and they were all just sitting there being like, oh my God, we're absolute dicks. They've just taken the piss out of us to our face.
Yeah.
I would have literally been like, this is the best film ever. Not because of its content, but because of what it did for society. It silenced incels for as long as they need to be silenced. You know what I mean? I would have fucking bummed this film.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, how about you? Have you got any ideas on what you would have done differently?
I think you can do a total reboot of the Ghostbusters, but you have to look at what made the Ghostbusters work in the first place. And it was distinct, clear identities mm-hmm. that have no business being in a room together.
Yes.
Coming together to do something as underdogs, right? That's where Ghostbusters works. If you're going to start from the ground up, mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2 had the issue of, well, they've already achieved, they start the film having proved that ghosts are real, right? That's the impossible odds.
Yeah.
We fight something that the world doesn't even know exists is a great premise for a team. And to them, to get to the end of the arc, the world knows that they were right all along. That's their moment of validation. That's brilliant. Ghostbusters 2, okay, it's difficult because they've already had that moment of validation. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I guess everyone's just going to forget that ghosts are real. You're going to reboot Ghostbusters. It's going to be set 2 decades later.
Right.
The question is, do people remember ghosts?
Okay.
Because if you build in a thing where ghosts have a weird reality distortion field where people just can't remember that they exist.
Holy fuck. You mean like people that have experienced, New York City as a whole, experienced Ghostbusters phenomenon twice. And then 2 decades later, because of like a side effect mm-hmm. from the ghostly presence, it's built in that humans forget that ghosts exist. Dude, that is fucking wicked.
Right. And you then have an all-female team rediscovering the events of the original
Holy
films.
Shit, dude. Sign me up for this one immediately.
or you go the other way, and the film that they have yet to make in Ghostbusters that I would love, which is The World Doesn't Forget, and that's now a branch of the government. And it's like a red tape tied up.
Yes.
Like it's a fucking bureaucratic.
Yeah. And they have to jump through all these like bullshit hoops, but they have like an arm with like the fucking MOD and shit like this.
Right,
and they have to discuss it rationally and you get a
being
whole...
a Ghostbuster is like working for HMRC or the IRS and you're
I would bum that film too. I would fucking love to see it take it deadpan seriously mm-hmm. in the most fantastical subject matter. I would fucking love that.
It didn't. It did some things right. I think, look, let's talk about the things that this film gets right because there are myriad things it gets right. None
Tons
of them
of
click
things.
Together. It's like having a Lego set with really, really nice bricks, but not a single one fits into the one next to it.
Yeah, but standalone, they're mint.
Yeah.
Standalone, they're worth their weight in gold.
Great brick. Yeah. But it just doesn't click in. It's like nothing clicks. Right?
Okay.
But the ghosts in this, I rate the ghosts in this. Those parade balloons at the end.
Okay, the parade balloons.
Chef's kiss.
Are fucking wicked. There's one ghostly presence that fucks me off, and I watched this. Obviously, I've watched this 2 or 3 times recently for this, and it's the bit with the woman. She's got like that weird boil on her back, and it's the horribly over CGI'd little pimple monster thing, and I'm like, oh god, just leave it out, man.
Yeah,
I get it's fun, it's aimed at a younger audience, but I'm like, fuck me.
I thought the ghost in the basement was effective.
Ghost in the basement was dope as fuck.
Yeah,
the spewing, the fucking Nickelodeon-esque spewing of slime everywhere.
Hell yeah.
Venkman got slimed once back in the early 80s, and in this film, Kristen Wiig gets slimed 45 times. Do you know what I mean?
It's you got to escalate the stakes. 100% you got to escalate
which
the stakes.
Which is great. I think there's a few fucking awesome parts in this. I love the fact, and this will forever be one of my favorite things about it. I love the fact that Melissa McCarthy's character in this film is consistently delivered Chinese food with incorrect ratios. And it's just something about that really fucking tickles me. And I don't know why.
It's the relatability of the everyday frustration. It's a small thing, but it's everyday.
Every fucking takeout
that should be very easy to fix.
Exactly. Every takeout I order, I'm like, God, this is going to be so fucking good. And I eat it. I'm like, that is so mid. It is so unbelievably good. I'm never eating that again. And then in a week's time, I'm like, do you know what I could really go for?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Chinese. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I will make my millions when I can figure out how to make a fast food that tastes as good as the first 10% of any fast food.
Ooh.
The first 10% of a Chinese is incredible.
It's the best.
The first 10% of an Indian takeaway is incredible. Mm-hmm. That last 20% of any takeaway is ash in my mouth.
It's torture. It's torture. I'm eating it because I've begrudged spending £30 on a meal. Do you know what I mean? That I eat in my own house and I have to wash up my own cutlery after. I'm like, this is so pointless.
So going to the cinema and seeing somebody experience that frustration was lovely.
Yeah.
Again, with those two perspectives on the movie, the first time I watched this movie, I thought Chris Hemsworth was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen on film.
Sure. Not for me.
The second time.
But it's fine.
Not for me at all.
Yeah. He has some great bits. Kevin, can you answer the phone? Oh, no, I can't. It's in the fish tank. No. The one that's next to you. The one that's ringing. Oh, yeah.
It's like the bit where he hits the gong and he covers his eyes and goes, "That's loud, huh?" Come on.
Okay. Yeah, that's based on a joke from the first one, and it's only clicked very recently. Where it's you remember when they're in the library and he's like, "Listen, can you smell that?"
Yeah.
Can you smell something? And it's that.
I'll remove that comment from comment corner.
No,
sorry, Screaming 53.
It's going to validate me. Bring it. It's going to validate me.
No, it's Screaming 53. That was your shine.
No. Bring it to comment corner. Validate me, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Also, thank you, Screaming. What was his name? Screaming.
Screaming 53.
Oh, Screaming 53. Okay, that's cool. But yeah, I think it could have been a great film. There's a few things, there's a few redeeming factors about it. It's very fun if you've never seen a film. If you're expecting Ghostbusters, it's a shit show. If you're not expecting Ghostbusters or you're not familiar with Ghostbusters, it's great.
It's an odd spot for a franchise because I feel like something can only tolerate so many false starts.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, arguably one of the greatest action films of all time.
Oh, one of the best sequels that exists.
Terminator 2 is on the shortlist of three for so many categories. It's probably top three sequels of all time. Top three action films of all time.
Robots from the future films.
Top three science fiction movies of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's as close to a perfect film as you're ever going to find.
Yeah.
Terminator 1, mint horror, more of a B-movie feel, still a great film.
Yeah.
Made on fuck all money.
Yeah.
So much goodwill. Do I want to see another Terminator film? Do I fuck?
No. The worst thing is, right, I'm in the same boat, but I continuously watch the fucking sequels, and every time they're like, but this is, we've made the third one. This is the third one. I'm like, no, it's the fifth. No, it's the sixth. No, stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
We are beating a dead horse.
The Terminator franchise is my movie equivalent of an abusive partner.
Yeah,
same. I'm like, oh, they've changed. No, it's different this time.
Yeah.
James Cameron's back for this one. It's all going to be different.
Yeah. Fucking hell. That's such a good analogy. That's unreal.
And I feel like Ghostbusters, I'm not going to talk about my feelings for later on this series,
Yeah.
But I feel like Ghostbusters keeps taking steps towards Terminator land.
Yeah.
Well, at a certain point, I'm going to go, it's already too fucked.
Like, we're there with this one.
Yeah.
The next two episodes are going to take a slight, you know, they dance a line, but we'll get into that in those episodes.
We will. We will. What are you going to rate Ghostbusters 2016, Ben?
I'm going to rate this. I'm going to have to, okay, it's a difficult one. If this is your first Ghostbusters film, if you're a younger person and this is your first mm-hmm. Ghostbusters film, it's fucking awesome. And I'm so happy that you've experienced it this way because it is nothing but uphill from here, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful of Ghostbusters Answer the Call for that. I'm fucking
mm-hmm.
so grateful for it. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, it's nothing but disappointment because mm-hmm. you're watching what you love be redone poorly.
Yeah.
Not for the sake of the actors, not for the sake of the cast, but because of the writing and the way it's executed. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing to blame here. I'm going to have to rate this a 3. Absolute maximum.
Yeah, that's quite generous.
It's 2 points of me being grateful for all of the new Ghostbusters fans it's going to bring in. They're going to see the rest of the Ghostbusters films and go, fuck me. Okay, yeah, I started at the right point. And that's what where 2 points of that is coming from. One is because the cast is great. Some of the jokes are great. I'm going to do a 4. I'm going to do a 4 because 1 point for the odd food ratios. That shit just tickles me. I can't get
over
it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How about you?
I'm going to go 1.
Okay.
Because it's boring. I find it boring to watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can't forgive it for proving the wrong people right.
Okay, yeah.
The opportunity was there, the time was there,
yeah.
The budget was there, the cast was there.
All right, I'm back down to a 2. It's lost 2 points for that exact reason. Okay, yeah, fine.
And I think people who in the movie industry
mm-hmm.
could have done with a really good Ghostbusters reboot, to say it's an all-female team. All right, mm-hmm. cool. Well, now you've taken on some fucking social responsibility, right?
Yeah.
You said it's the thing you love with the addition of this other thing. You're now representing women and you fucked it.
Yeah.
And the only reason you're representing women is because you stood up and said you were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like volunteering to be someone's lawyer and they get life.
Oh. It's like saying to someone who's just totted up 12 points for speeding, don't worry, Ben, you're not going to lose your license. And then representing me in court where I immediately lost my license.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that feeling very well. Yeah, that was good. Thanks for that, buddy. Appreciate it. We got time for Comic Corner?
We do. So get this, Ben. Screaming 53, and you may not have heard this.
I've not heard of him. He sounds interesting.
They brought up a really interesting point in Ghostbusters 1. They've got they say their favorite line is, "Listen, do you smell something?"
Yes, buddy.
Yeah.
Validation.
Hell yeah.
Validation.
Yeah. Also, DV Vice commented on one of our Chaplin reels where we were talking about Limelight. And I used the words milky blue to describe Chaplin's eyes.
Yeah, insane.
You took offense to that.
I did.
Turns out cow's milk is blue tinted.
Right.
Also, on top of that, you can use milky as a descriptor of pastel-leaning shades of any color.
All right, listen. I wasn't saying you couldn't.
I'm listening because it's the sound of me being right.
What you are right, it's fine. I never said you were wrong. It just caught me off guard. I've never heard it because I'm not a pastel-leaning color descriptor. All right.
Okay, that's
fair. I like offensively bright colors, like the ghosts.
You do.
And Ghostbusters
Batman Forever 20s. Is your favorite
Dude,
film.
That's my fucking fever dream, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a miracle you don't watch Guns Akimbo on loop.
I hate that film. It's like Monster Energy got an erection and just fucking threw Daniel Radcliffe at it. Anyway.
Ben, if I said I've got a film And you're like, yeah, what is it? And I said, it's like Monster Energy got an erection and threw Daniel Radcliffe in a blender. You'd go, love that.
Yeah, obviously I'm going to watch it. And I hate the film. I'm not saying I don't watch it.
Okay.
I've seen it a few times. I'm just saying I don't like it. I enjoy it. I don't like it.
I've also got one more important thing that I need to say before we're out.
Go on.
Which is, it's a very dear friend of the podcast who edits our videos.
Anthony.
He is unironically the funniest person in the Every Movie Ever brand.
He's also currently a fucking babe. An absolute babe. He works at my local cinema and I adore bumping into him there. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Cinemas are like odd clinical places and I've never really understood it. It's like a doctor's waiting room. No one talks to anyone and it's sort of like... Anthony makes it 10,000 times better.
Nice.
And then I walk into my film with a fucking like massive grin on my face. It's mint.
Hey.
I love him.
It's his birthday. So
happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, Anthony. Thank you for everything you do for us.
Thank
it
you
does
for
genuinely
everything.
Make our little passion project and sanity maker much more sanity making and much more passionate. So thank you, buddy. We appreciate you very, very deeply. We appreciate the listeners too, but
we
just,
really do.
You know, it's
we
not
love
your birthday.
Each and every one of you, but it isn't your birthday, so you know.
Eat shit.
Get over it. That's all the time we have this week, but we shall be back next week with Monkey Man, Dev Patel.
Ooh, ba-ba.
Yes, buddy.
Hey, unironically, the best film I've seen all year, so get
Same.
On board for that.
We love you all from the bottom of our hearts. It's not your birthday, so shut up. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It means the absolute fucking world.
It really, really does. Now, Ben's going to give you a little Monday motivation. He's going to wrap up the thoughts and themes of this week into a little speech to, you know, motivate you through your week. It's the start of the
week
for a lot
of
you.
Buddy. I got a good one.
Thank you. Meanwhile, I'm just going to cosplay a society and tell you to...
So the best thing that Ghostbusters Answer the Call did for the Ghostbusters was to almost kill the franchise, which will bring me to my Monday motivation is nothing like a near-death experience to make you appreciate life. I think we all need to appreciate life a little bit more. So I don't know. I think my advice is close your eyes for 6 seconds whilst you're driving down a busy motorway. Just, you know, you'll appreciate it when you open them. Lick a plug socket every now and then just to keep it, you know, topped up. You know what I mean? Top up that appreciation. Forward your post to the edge because that's where we're living now. All right? We're all moving to the edge. We're all fucking appreciating life. It's great. It's not a cult. It's not a cult.
What's the guitarist of U2 got to do with anything?
He's just a prick.